This is an urgent message for all individuals with extremely large credit card debt. No matter how much you owe, the company that has settled more credit card debt than anyone in the U.S. can settle your debt too, while you make one low monthly program payment. You now have the opportunity to hear how low your monthly program payment could be for free. To find out how much you could save, call Freedom Debt Relief 1-800-928-1065, 1-800-928-1065, 1-800-928-1065.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm talking about Motown Maurice right down here in the state of Florida.
And we've got Motown Maurice of the Motown Maurice Show.
I'm going to introduce you to Motown Maurice.
We have special, special, special guest Motown Maurice.
Motown Maurice.
Speaking of crazy, we have Motown Maurice,
a man who is trying to put Tampa on the map for late night television.
He is not the next Arsenio Hall. He is the first Motown Maurice.
For those of you who haven't had a chance to experience Motown Maurice,
you have to understand he is very persistent.
And now he has transitioned
from Tampa to Los Angeles, California.
He's now in Los Angeles.
Continuing his pursuit of the quest of a late night talk show host.
Keep an eye on Motown.
Absolutely.
Keep an eye on that gentleman. One day this man is going to be the new face of late night.
Motown, we love you.
Motown Maurice, are you on the line?
And now, your host, Motown Maurice.
Run, Keith, run! In a fifth grade play, he forgot his lines and froze up in front of a large crowd. Not only was that the most embarrassing moment of his life, he still has nightmares from that moment about being unprepared on stage. Run, Keith, run! In high school, he joined the marching band and simultaneously exposed himself to a love affair of theatrics, music, large crowd, and performances. Run, Keith, run! Yet a troubled team at the time, he tried out for the speech team his freshman year, but yet he didn't make it. He came back his sophomore year and won the same tournament. The following 2 years, in his junior and senior year, he completed a three-peat and won the state tournament again and again and again. Run, run, Keith, run! Because of his accomplishments, he's got a full ride for a speech and debate scholarship to Western Kentucky University, but he still loved theater, but was denied the opportunity to perform in theater plays at the time. Run, Keith, run! His last year in college, he immersed himself in theater. Run, Keith, run! After college, he joined the Williamstown Theater Festival for 3 months. Run, Keith, run! After that, he went to New York and joined HD Studios and trained himself in off-Broadway. Run, Keith, run! He bartended and waited tables in pursuit of his dreams. Run, Keith, run! In pursuit of his dreams, he finally was cast for an independent film called Headhunter and moved to Germany for a month and a half. Run, Keith, run! Then he moved to L.A. and found an agent. Run, Keith, run! Now, he is co-producing a project called the Manhattan Monologue Slam. Run, Keith, run! Ladies and gentlemen, we have today a guest on the show who's running, who's chasing, who you can't stop. He's pursuing his dreams. Please welcome the one and only Keith Blazer!
I'm out of breath. I'm out of breath, Motown. Maurice.
I know you out of breath. I'm out of energy and breath trying to chase up with you because you are chasing your dreams.
Oh, man, you right there beside me, though, man. I see you've been right there. You got your jersey on. You got your water bottle in hand. I see you, man. You've been right there beside me, man.
Yeah.
I'm only
beside you because I'm in a golf cart trying to keep up. That's the only reason.
Oh, no, that ain't true, man. That ain't true.
Oh, man. No, but without a doubt, you have been running. You've been chasing. You've been sprinting. You've been jogging. You kept the pace, and that is what inspires me, and I know it's going to inspire everybody listening. You're from Indiana, which is Evansville, the west side of Evansville, Indiana. Your hometown loves you. You're like a hometown hero, and you're nonstop. You keep on going. And you're inspiring people along the way. How do you maintain the pace? Are you like a superhuman or something?
I love that, man. I love that. No superhuman abilities here, man. Just pure essential drive and motivation and passion and chasing your dream and doing what you love to do and never giving up hope and always believing that there's something on that other side, on that other door that you're looking for. Good fortune, man. Good upbringing. You know, like you said, good hometown, good family, good friends, and always surrounding myself around good influential people, things like that. You know, it's all pretty simple, actually. You know, it's the same stuff that we all know about. You know, it's just living your dream, baby. Keep it on going. You know, never give up. Always pushing forward, man. Doing what you're doing right now. You know what I'm saying? Keeping the dream alive. You're doing it too, baby. You know.
Hey, we're doing it together. You're doing it together. Now I'm about to mention some things, but I have a feeling you're going to try to downplay it. But from my visual perspective, this is huge. I mean, you're like in front of the you're in front of the newspaper. You're in front of the Evanstown Courier. I mean, this is huge. I mean, it's all you. I'm talking about nobody else is there, but it's you. Light, camera, action, Keith Blazer. I mean, that's big. How did you feel when that came out? I mean, you're in the newspaper. Your hometown is probably going crazy. You're signing autographs. What's up?
Oh, man, I didn't sign any autographs, man. I don't know. I might have if I would have been here when that came out. I mean, I felt pretty good, man. I mean, to be honest with you. Yeah, you know, we all want to downplay things, you know, to maintain, you know, be humble and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, if we're going to be honest and be real about it, you know, it feels good, man. You know, you work hard all your life to accomplish something. That was a big goal of mine. I always said before I was going to die, I wanted to be a lead in a feature film. I wanted to be able to walk into a video store and see my video sitting on the shelf. And miraculously, all of a sudden, here it is. I'm accomplishing that goal, you know, and my mom, my dad, they put that whole thing together for me, you know, because they've always had my back on that kind of thing. And they knew about this guy that did these stories about people on the west side and, you know, the west side of Evansville where I grew up. And they contacted him, and then he got a hold of me, and he put that story together for me. And, you know, a lot of people did see that when that came out and heard a lot of good things about it from my family. And then, you know, coming back here, a lot of people would say, even years later, after it already come out, I still see people today. I'm in Evansville, Indiana right now, actually, and I still see people right now today that still talk about that article, and it's amazing to me how many people remember that and how it has stuck out on people's minds here. And that definitely feels good, man. It does, because this is something we work really hard to do. That was a big goal of mine. So to have people appreciate that and find it fascinating is pretty cool. It feels good, man. Yeah.
It's amazing how folks in Hollywood, they'll forget you after an episode or two.
Yeah.
But your hometown folks never forget.
I know, man. And that's why I guess I do downplay it a lot, because essentially what this is, you know, it's an independent feature film. It got the lead role in it, but that's really nothing in Hollywood. You know, that's just a little line on your resume is all that really is. And, you know, you're like, okay, big deal. I've done that too. So what? You know, what else have you got? You know,
exactly.
It's really nothing, man. And that's how crazy it is. And to me, it was a lot. It's everything, you know, but yeah, you know, in Hollywood, it's like, yeah, okay, I've done that, and you know, moving on. It's not a big deal. And in these hometowns, these small hometowns, it's everything. It's crazy how that works. That just goes to show you how fascinated people are with this industry, about the movie business, Hollywood, and movie stars and things like that. It's like we're superhuman, you know, to people who don't do it, you know?
that's why you had that little extra long extended chuckle when I said that, because you're like, oh,
because
you know what I'm talking about. That laugh was very peculiar. I knew that laugh. You're like, I'm not going to admit to it on the air, but I get that feeling from my hometown. Right? You see?
Absolutely. I know you knew that laugh. Absolutely.
So, yeah, look. It's amazing how we've even – I want to talk about your project, but I just want to acknowledge how we connected. We both auditioned for Craftsman Screwed contest,
yeah,
looking for the most unhandiest person. And you just reached out to me. You thought I had a cool video. You reached out to me, and we've been connected ever since. So that right there shows a lot about your personality. We have not – I'm letting everybody listening right now, we have not met. We don't know what each other looks like other than through pictures. We never met in person. But Keith took the time out, reached out to me, and we've been connected ever since. So, I mean, much love for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure, man. You know, funny story about that. I actually I told people, I was like, man, this guy stole my idea on my audition.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't like this Motown Maurice. Who is this Motown Maurice? Look, this dude is getting all the way to the finals, man. I did the same audition, man. He took my audition from me, and he got all the way to the finals. Motown Maurice. Who's this Motown Maurice? You know what I'm saying? And I was like, man, who is this dude? And it was really funny. Motown and I, we had the same audition, or we had the same idea. You know, great minds think alike, you know.
Exactly.
And we both did the kind of the same interpretation of the audition, and Motown ends up way, way further than me, and I'm seeing this, and I'm, I'm hating all over it, but not really. You know, I'm appreciating it at the same time. And so I reached out to him, and you know, I wanted to tell him, hey, good job on your video, man. And then once I started getting in and seeing what all the stuff you've been going through and all the, all the trials and tribulations that you're facing, man, you're keeping the faith, man. You're keeping I wanted to make sure I connected that with you, man, because, you know, you keep a good positive energy on things, and you keep, I appreciate what you're doing too, man. So,
No doubt. I appreciate that. I totally forgot about that for a moment. Our audition video was almost exactly the same. I just took it to the farther limit by we both had a concept that we had a lot of facial tools and not real tools. And I just took it farther by putting some face masks on my face, some mud on my face during the video. If anything, that might have gave me the jump. But without a doubt, I did not get the idea from you. I didn't see your video at all. So great minds do think alike.
It's just really cool. It's really interesting how that happened and how we connected and how that thing just about the world, how crazy it is about stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, it is so amazing. And we're connected today, and everything goes around full circle. We're going to keep the connection. I love it. But what I want to talk about right now is the film that put you in front of the newspaper, the film that took your career to the next level, Headhunter. You went to Germany for that. I mean, they took care of you financially. I'm not talking about that was a no pro bono project. That was something serious, you know. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, that was really cool, man. That was I auditioned for that. Well, when I first moved to New York City, I had no idea what to do. Didn't have an agent. I was looking in Backstage East, and I was looking all online and NY castings and things like that. Doing all the things we do without agents, and I came across that posting in a Backstage East article, and I sent in my material, my headshot, my resume, and he called me in to audition. I went in, I auditioned, or he sent me the script after before my audition. He sent me the script, or the side, actually, a portion of the script that I had read, and it was this really cool scene where I'm beating this dude up. And I've got him down on the ground, and I'm just nailing him with my fists, and I end up killing this guy with my fists. And then I say this really badass monologue to him right after I kill him, and it was just right up my alley. It was so – it just gave me chills. It was exactly what I like to do, what's interesting to me, and I felt like I could really do a lot with the character. So I really got into it. I emailed him back, and I said – I love this. I'm so excited for the audition. I can't wait. Is there anything else I need to know about this character? Here's what I'm thinking about doing. Wait a minute. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll talk when we get to the audition. And I just showed a lot of enthusiasm for it, and it wasn't all fake. It was real. And when I showed up to the audition, I was super prepared for it. I was in the mindset for it. I was 100% present for it. And the director and I, he went to NYU and then he moved to Germany to do films and stuff, got his own production office there. He and I just clicked right away. His favorite genre of movies is horror movies, so was mine. We start talking about that. And I think that really helped in the whole process. It took us about an hour to actually get into the entire audition because we spent so much time in our rapport with one another. And then we get into the audition, and I nailed it, I guess, but I don't know if it's really nailing. It's just something that I just got. It was just something I felt, and it just happened. It happened for all of us, and you could feel it when I walked out of there. It's one of those things where you know that you've just nailed. You just got it. It's one of those auditions you know that you got. And then a year passed, an entire year passed before I heard anything from the guy. And then it's a year later now, it's the holidays, it's Christmas time, I go home to Indiana to see my family. You know, it's cold, it's in New York, you know, it gets depressing sometimes in the wintertime. Yeah, it's just damp, and I come home and then I go back to New York, right, in my apartment, the heat's off, it's cold, it's depressing, and I turn on my computer and I see that I've gotten an email from Sebastian Panic, the director of Headhunter, and he says, hey, we've halted things a little bit, been behind schedule, but we're back on schedule, and I want to know if you'll accept the lead role of this movie. And that was quite a welcome back present to me. I was more than, it just, like I said, it satisfied a dream of mine that I've had all my life. And from there, it took us about 6 months to actually get going. They paid me to do the movie. They took care of everything out there in Germany. They flew me out to Germany. I stayed at the director's house, and I shot for 25 days straight. And I had one day off a week where I wasn't shooting. And then I stayed in Germany an extra week after we got done filming just to kind of tour around Europe and see different cool stuff, and it was an amazing experience. I mean, it was, and that's why I love this. Why I love this business. That's why I love what we do. That's why I love making movies, man. I get bored doing the same old steady job every single day. Same old routine. I get bored. I got to see something new every day. It's a new scenery. You know what? Who gets to do that? You know, you just get a free trip to Germany, and you get to do cool stuff in the movie. I'm slitting people's throats coming out of the water. You know, I get to look cool, and, you know, it's like, oh, I'm getting paid on top of it. What? You know, what's going on?
Yeah, man, you had some real cool GQ shots out of the water. I'm like, look at this guy. It was nice. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying that was actually the toughest scene of the movie, man. That sucks. That day was a really, really rough day, man. That water was extremely cold, and I had to stay in that water for a long time.
So, a brief synopsis. What's a brief synopsis of the movie? What is it about, briefly?
So there's a group of business students, and I'm actually at this international business school in Germany. Mm-hmm. I'm an American. My girlfriend in the movie, she's an American. And both of us took off. We met at this business school. And we're about ready to graduate business school. And I'm trying to land this job with the Takahashi Corporation. It's the corporation that runs the movie. And I'm in this class, and I'm getting this seminar about how, we're going to take this assessment trip for the weekend. You know, we're going to pick five people out of your class, the top five out of your class, and we're going to send five of you away to into the middle of the woods in Berlin, and we're going to drop you off in a helicopter, and then we're going to send a headhunter along with you, and he's going to evaluate you. And he's going to, this is, because we're not looking for like a desk kind of guy. We're not looking for someone that does things by the book. We're looking for someone that can, it's got survival skills, you know. And I've always been an outcast all my life, you know, in this movie. You know, I'm not the social guy. And so I like, you know, hands-on woodsy type of stuff, you know, and where I'm doing things by myself, you know. So I'm like, this is perfect for me. I have to have this job. I've got to get this. you know, so I really try hard, and I end up being a part of the group, and I get sent out with four other people, you know, this group of people. We get dropped off in the middle of the woods. We have this guy with us. He's evaluating us, and then we have 3 days to make it to this liaison point. It's basically one of those movies where everything starts going wrong, people start dying, and it's one of those who did it type of movies. You know, who's killing who? Why? You know, heads are getting chopped off. And it's like, why are heads missing? You know, and why are people dying? And you're trying to decide who's the killer of this movie. You know, and I'll just go ahead and spoil it for you. I'm the killer, and so it's got a lot of death scenes. You know, I find ways to methodically kill people one by one, you know, in the woods. And I felt like I was Rambo in this movie, you know?
Yeah. I
know. Although I don't look like it, but definitely felt like it. So it was really fun.
Tom Cruise Rambo or something.
What's that?
Like a Tom Cruise Rambo.
Oh man, you're really making me feel good, man.
Where can, if somebody listening wants to find this film and check you out, how could they find it? Is it available on Netflix anywhere right now, or you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing, man. It's really weird. We got a theatrical release in Germany. It was in theaters in Germany and Austria for a good running there, and then it's on DVD all over Europe. We have a U.S. distributor. We had one that actually went bankrupt, and so they sold the movie to a company in Canada. And ever since they sold the movie, I haven't been able to find it. If you actually go on Amazon.com, if you type in Keith Blazer on Google, you'll see Headhunter the Assessment Weekend. It'll come up, and you'll see where it says, well, buy it here or buy it here. And then when you actually go to buy it, you'll get an email a few days later that says, it's not actually released yet. We don't have any information from the distributor when it's being released, so it's on hold. And you'll just stay on hold. So I don't know what's going on, and I can't get any answers. We can't get any answers because we've already sold the movie. It's up to them. It's done. You know. So I don't know. I mean, you know, I've got copies. I can get copies. If anyone wants it that bad, email me, you know. But eventually it'll come out. Huh? What's up? Hello? Are we there? Motown, I don't hear you. I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Nothing going on. I don't know if people can hear me. I don't know what's happening, but Motown is not there. Motown is gone. Motown Maurice. It's now the Keith Blazer Show. I'm looking online. What's going on? Nothing's happening. I don't know if people can hear me. This is probably really hilarious to everyone out there if you can't hear me. Motown is gone. I don't hear him. I hope you're okay, Motown. I hope nothing happened to you in the studio there. Someone didn't come in and strangle you because they love your show so much. They want to be you. And so they've taken over, and zombies are actually eating away at you right now, and they're storming the building, breaking down all the windows and eating. All right. I just got a text from a co-producer in New York City. But baby, wherever
Whenever you need me, I'll be there. I'll be around. I knew just what to say. Now I found out today that all the words slipped away. But I know there's always a chance. A tiny spark will remain, yeah. And sparks turn into flame, and love can burn once again. But I know,
whenever you call me,
I'll be there.
Whenever you call me,
I'll be there.
Whenever you need me,
I'll be there. I'll be around.
All right, I'm back on. I'm back on. Keith, you there? Oh, come on. Hello? Hello?
Let me get back. Hello?
Keith, you there?
Can you hear me?
I hear you. You hear me?
Yes, I do hear you.
Looks like we had a huge technical difficulty. I have no clue why. I do apologize about that. But I think maybe we should just keep the party going and we'll figure it out next time. What do you say?
Yeah. Let's just keep it moving. It's all good.
Let's just keep it going, and I'll work something out later on. We'll keep it going. That's how we do it here. What I was asking before we had that technical difficulty is I wanted to know about your audition process and that actual – what did it take? Because it seemed like you had, like, an organic connection between you and the producer and the director at the time. What was it? If you were to give somebody a tip – in terms of auditioning, what would you give them that you gained out of that experience to be cast with Headhunter?
It's the same process that I always go through every time I audition. It's making the words my own and making the script my own. It's taking the director's script or the writer's script, whoever wrote it, writer of course, obviously, right? Who taking their words and their interpretation of the story. And making it my own, finding a way to connect to the story and finding a way, like, with this script, it really spoke to me because it's the type of movies that I watch, you know. And so when I read this scene, I saw it happening on screen. It was like when I read it, I was really watching the movie, and it's something that just really resonated with me. And it's like I got what, you know, people want to see. I saw the whole thing in my mind happening, and it was good writing, number one, you know, so it was easy to kind of get in there. And once I had the thing memorized, I usually memorize a script first, and all of a sudden you just start doing it and you're playing around with it, and it just happens. You just make it your own. You create your interpretation of the scene. And that's what I do when I go on auditions, when I get sides. You know, I take to that side and I create a little slice of life. I make it my own little scene, and I make choices. I make specific, direct choices with my auditions. And it may not be the right choice. It may not be exactly what that casting director is looking for, the director's looking for, but it's my choice. And but it's not wrong. It's not a wrong choice. It may not be exactly what they're looking for, but it's still a choice, and that's what they're looking for. They're looking for you to make a choice. And at least they can see that you've made a choice, and they can, and then they'll work with you. They'll tell you they'll tell you what they're looking for, you know, and then you have to be able to adjust to that. You have to be able to take direction well and adjust to their notes, you know. And as long as you're confident in what you're doing and you take something, you make it your own, and who cares? Don't worry about what they're looking for. My God, I think this is what they want to see. They got to see this. You can't worry about that stuff. You just do it. Take care of business the way you know how to do it, you know. And I just, that's all I do, is I try to make it as believable as possible. You know, as far-fetched as the story may be, you know, I try to make it real. And I try to make it so that it's an actual living human being going through these circumstances that, you know, I'm reading on the page. And that's how I do it.
Yeah, yeah. Now, would your fifth grade nightmare of being afraid on stage and freezing, would that have anything to do with helping you in your process?
Well, that helps me to be prepared when it comes time for showtime, so that I don't ever have to live through that again and be that nervous again. And that's my biggest fear.
Do you really have, this is since fifth grade, are you really have nightmares about that incident when you froze up on stage? You still have nightmares after all these years?
Yeah. It's not necessarily like that night specifically or that time specifically, but it'll be about times when I walk out on stage and I don't know my lines, or I'm not in my wardrobe. I'm not wearing what I'm supposed to be wearing. I'm just wearing street clothes. Or I'm in the wrong scene, or it's just not being prepared, and it's just being opening night and not knowing what I'm doing, you know, not having stage direction at all, not knowing anything about what I'm supposed to be doing out there. And it's that type of nightmare. And I think it's the worst one for me, because it's what I love doing. It's my thing in life, and the worst thing is to suck at it so bad and you know, forget the basics of it. And that's extremely scary to me. And so I'll have, they've kind of started to level off, but every now and then I'll have one where I'm just out there and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know my lines. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I'm only imagining, because you're like a speech champion from high school and college, that you have a good memory for remembering lines and things like that, right?
Yeah. I've had a lot of practice at that, I guess. Speeches definitely help with that, for sure. We're always memorizing scripts and constantly changing things. You know, sometimes minutes before a performance, you know, and so I've been pretty conditioned to memorize, and it just it's kind of just over the years it's getting a lot easier to where it just goes in there, you know, just by whatever system I use, you know. I don't know if I have a system. However it happens, and it gets in there, you know.
Yeah. So would you recommend to an upcoming actor to join Toastmasters or something like that?
To join, what is it? I'm sorry.
Have you ever heard of Toastmasters?
Toastmasters. I'm not too familiar with it. I have heard of it.
Toastmasters is like an organization, a group where people come together and they practice their, you know, their speeches. They practice public speaking. Mm-hmm. Is that important for an actor?
Yeah, I mean, it's important. I mean, if you really want to do it, it's important for an actor. I think it's important for anybody, really. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest fear in America is death and public speaking. Those are the two. That's what the number one fear is in America: death and public speaking. It's awful. People hate public speaking, and it helps in a lot of ways. If you're going to do the whole acting thing, you know, I'd suggest is getting yourself immersed into as many acting schools as you can. You know, if I wouldn't have done the speech and debate thing, I would have gone to an acting school, a film school, you know, and learn as much as you can in the whole acting world, because, you know, when you get out of school, you know, they have programs to help place you and kind of guide you the right way into the real world. Because when I got out into the real world, I had no idea what was going on. It was really, really scary, you know, because I didn't have that schooling. You know, it was all up to me. So, I think it helps for anyone. Anyone can do that. And I learned a lot from it. Yeah, it really helped develop me. So, you know, why not?
Exactly. So you finished your film in Germany, A Headhunter. Then you went back to New York, and then you relocated to Los Angeles and found an agent. It sounds so easy from my perspective. The way it sounds when I read it, it sounds easy. But was it a challenge, or how was that process for you?
Yeah, it was a lot easier than I thought it was going to be, because most of the time, I mean, you always hear all these horror stories about people trying to get an agent and failing, and it's so hard to get an agent, but there's a method to it, you know, and there are resources available out there that can help you find an agent. And if you stick with it and you work hard and you follow this method, you know, or a method, or just you use the resources that are available to you, it's not that hard, you know, if you don't give up and you keep going, you're going to find someone eventually. You know, it may not be who you end up with, but it's a start. It's someone that can give you that key to the next door that you're going to open. You know, I look at this thing as an entire treasure map, you know, a gigantic map, and everything is so foreign. It's so huge and big, and you just don't know what's out there. And then you just find these little keys along the way, you know, little clues that lead you to a different part of the map, you know, to the bigger picture of what you're trying to achieve. And, you know, when I moved out there, I went to the Samuel French bookstore, and there are two of them in Los Angeles, and you get the, I forget the name of it, but it's a book that you buy that lists every single agent in Los Angeles, every single one of them, what they're looking for, their address, their phone number, if they're looking for somebody right now, when they're looking, everything you need to know about an agent, about a manager, about the modeling agencies, everything, it's all there in these books. And you pick up that book and you go through it, and you circle these people, and you put together a package. You put together your headshots. You get your promo together. Remember, this is a business, and we're the product, and we have to promote ourselves. And you promote yourself the best way that you can. You put your demo reel in there, your headshots, cover letter. You have to, you know, give yourself a reason to contact these people. Don't just say, hey, I'm looking for an agent. You know, say, I've got a movie that just came out, or I'm in a show. You know, give yourself a reason to contact these people. And for me, it was the headhunter thing. You know, say, I just finished wrapping 25 days on this feature film in Berlin, and I just moved out to Los Angeles. I feel like I'm ready for that next step. You know, let's do this. You know, and I put together a nice promo package, and I submitted to all these agents. I just mailed this package out to all of them. And you follow up with all of them. You call them back, and then all of a sudden I've got all these meetings set up. And then I meet with all the agents, and then I decide on who I want to go with. And it's really as easy as that. It is. You know, if you just stick with it and don't give up and keep believing, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, praise to that. So I want to talk about what you got going on right now. I mean, you've got the journey. You've been across a great journey. You've traveled from your hometown to to Germany. You finished a film project, but right now you're working on something really significant called the Manhattan Monologue Slam, and it sounds really exciting. It sounds like something that everybody should be a part of. How did you get into that?
Yes. The Manhattan Monologue Slam is a show that I saw when I was living in New York City. It's done at the Bowery Poetry Club in New York City, and it's where I saw it at when I was living there. And if you're in New York, it's almost like everyone's heard of it. I mean, this thing is picked up a lot of speed over the years. It's just a well-developed show, and everybody likes it. No one has anything bad to say about this show, and so the word carries. And so I heard about it, and so I go to the Bowery Poetry Club, and I sit in on one of the shows in New York. And what it is it's a two-hour show, it happens once a month. And the first set of the show is pre-booked actors that go up on stage, and they perform a monologue. There's a panel of industry judges, casting directors, producers, directors, writers, actors, things like that, people in the business, people that have something worthy to say and contribute to the show. They're sitting there on the panel, right? The first set are actors that, are given a great performance, really getting the crowd going, making it fun, and there's a host, Philip Galinsky. You know, he'll come in, and he'll come in, and after every performance, he'll keep the energy going, and he'll liven it up, and then people on the industry panel, they'll contribute, they'll have things to say, and it's just this really exciting, fun show. And the second set of the show are actors who have signed up off the street, and they get a chance to go up on stage, and they have 2 minutes. It used to be 30 seconds. When I first saw the show, it was 30 seconds, and you go up on stage. Now it's 2 minutes. And you have 2 minutes to perform your best monologue. Give us your best stuff. And the slogan then was, are you the best actor in New York City? Prove it. You know, you have 2 minutes to go up on stage and prove it. And
wow.
Now, at the time, we didn't have this. Now we have an application where audience members can actually vote on the performers. But at that time, the judges, you know, they contribute and they'd offer critique and what they did great and what they can improve on. And then at the end of this whole thing, there's a winner announced, and that person wins $100. They win headshot sessions, demo reel sessions, things to arm their acting careers, you know. And so it's a very effective show, you know. It's a no bullshit show. It's very professional. It's very exciting, you know. And it's a really necessary show, you know, for us actors. And and I saw this thing in New York, right? And I was blown away. I was amazed. And I wanted to go up and perform, but I wasn't prepared. So I said, I'll do it next month. You know, and by that time, I'd already been left and gone to Germany and things like that and never got a chance to do it. And then when I moved down to L.A., I emailed them, and I said, when are you guys coming back out to L.A.? I want to perform in the show. And they said, well, I don't know if we're going to come back out anytime soon because the last time we were out, you know, it's kind of things fell apart and we lost our team out there. And I said, well, you know, let me – can I have it? And, you know, after a couple of years of doing a lot of the groundwork and just doing what they needed, you know, I'd always ask, what do you guys need? What can I do to help get this thing back out here? You know, I want to do it. And we finally secured a venue, now I'm producing the show out in L.A. Me and one of my best friends who I've known since kindergarten, Matthew Allen, who's a very well-accomplished actor in Los Angeles, doing great things, just booked an episode on Criminal Minds.
Nice.
And he's got a lengthy resume in IMDb, you know, and he's somebody that, you know, I had to have on my team. You know, here's the guy. He did the speech thing with me and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, he's one of the extremely hard worker in L.A., you know, and he's very passionate, very driven, very, very smart guy, and I definitely wanted to have him, you know, help me with this thing, you know, and there's nobody better I wanted on my team than him. And so he and I joined forces together, and we made this thing happen. You know, he actually found the King, you know, where we're doing this thing in Hollywood, and it's a beautiful venue in Hollywood. And, you know, we met with the people at the King, and then they loved the show. They'd actually already heard of the show.
I'm sitting down with the owner of the King King in L.A., and he's like, yeah, I've heard of the Manhattan Monologue Slam. You know, and that's what's so awesome about this thing. Everybody's heard of it, you know. And Motown, if you I don't know if Philip, he's actually listening, Philip Galinsky, he is actually, he's the co-creator of this thing. He and his brother developed this show in New York City and created it, and he hosts the show in New York City. And I've been working with him, Matthew and I have been working with him to get this thing up and running. And we actually secured a date in February to open in Hollywood. In Hollywood, baby, right on Hollywood Boulevard. And Philip, if you're listening, go ahead and call in now. Love to have you talk a little bit about this with me because he's really the force behind this thing. You know, he's created something and developed something, and as soon as you see him call in, Motown, if you don't mind passing me through, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, he hasn't called in yet, but as soon as he does, we're going to get him on the line. Keep on going, but this definitely sounds exciting. This sounds like something that actors are crying for in L.A., don't you think?
Well, that's
they need.
The thing, man, because, you know, we're going to have that panel of industry people there, and they've already... They backed this show since day one, since New York, you know, and there are a lot of people that are pulling for this thing and that love the idea of the show, and they're more than willing to be a part of it when we do the show and to sit there and watch actors off the street come up there and perform. And who knows? Who knows if someone's dreams are made one night, you know, if there's an agent or someone on the panel that sees them and says, hey, this is the next big thing, the next big talent. I like what you've got going on. You know, and they get signed the next day or something like that. And we're making dreams happen. We're making things come true. You know, and that's one of the things that I love about this, too. That's why I like doing this. One of the things that I, biggest things, reasons I like doing this, and the reason why we're all doing it, you know, is it's for everybody, you know, and we're using the resources of the city. I mean, L.A., it's all full of actors. You know, people are going to love this thing once they see what it's about. And it's not just your average casting director workshops, or they're just you see the stuff, the same stuff all the time. It's very, very different. There's nothing else like that, like this going on out there. And we have Heineken as a sponsor. You know, they're going to be there. They're going to be offering specials and things like that. And we'll have music, and it'll be a lively, fun event. There's not going to be any pressure. Everyone's going to be very supportive, you know, and it's going to be this very lively event. But when people get up on stage, and they're there to show their talents, and they perform their monologues, everyone, they shut up and they listen. And we listen to what they have to say, you know, what artistic side of themselves they're going to show us for the night, you know. And it's going to be, it's a really good thing. And I feel like this is what I have to do. You know, I feel
this is what you have to do. This is part of your journey, helping people along the way. As you continue to rise in your career, you're helping people along the way, and that's the way you do it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Motown Maurice. You're listening to Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. I got the racer, the chaser, the dream accomplisher, Keith Blazer, on the line, and we are taking calls right now. I believe we do have your friend Philip on the line, ready to join in about this Manhattan Monologue Slam. Philip, you are on the line. Are you there, Philip?
I am here. I am here present. Great show, guys. Excellent.
Oh, thank you. Philip. Thank you for listening. Join in. Tell us about your involvement and your part in this Manhattan Monologue Slam. How can I sign up right now? I want to be a part of this.
Keith and I and our whole team are star-making machines. So just get on board and we'll take you to the top. We've had... people that have performed at the Manhattan Monologue Slam have been on Mad TV, the movie 2012, The Blind Side. So there's a long list of TV and film that this show has springboarded a lot of people's careers because of the exposure that they got. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. Wow. That's what we love about it, man.
You know, when I talk to older actors, you know, that may be in their 50s or whatever right now. When they started their career, they said that back in the 80s, there was a lot more showcases that went on in L.A. where talents were allowed to showcase their talent, and that's how they found an agent. Now, I'm sure there are showcases right now like that that exist in L.A., but there's definitely not many at all. So when I hear about the Manhattan Monologue Slam, it's like bringing back the roots of how actors originally found their agents with the platform to showcase their talent in front of industry folks on a consistent basis. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, the process, the show has gotten better and better as we've built a team, because the goal of the show is to let actors shine. So the reason that it's really popular is because it's not a $40 ticket with a 2-drink minimum and you can't get on stage unless you have 10 people there. The price is reasonable. Every actor who performs gets a copy of their piece. They have a meet and greet at the end with the agents and the casting directors. So it's just an opportunity to get up there and do your stuff. And when we first started, there was a lot of people that were saying, you're never going to get industry there. You're going to have to pay the agents to come. And now we have these industry people that are dying to come to the show. And we don't pay our panel. They come because they want to see talent and they want to hire talent. They want, and they want to see a great show. And that's just the nexus of the whole thing is, giving away some cool stuff, helping actors out, and having a great show. It's a lot of fun.
Nice. Fantastic.
Yeah, so Motown, I want to see you there at the show. When we open.
Motown, we have a challenge for you, Motown. Okay? We have a challenge for you. You have this weekend to prepare, okay? On Monday night, this coming Monday, Keith and I host the Manhattan Monologue Slam on the internet. So we're going global with the show, which means you got to come up with a 2-minute monologue or less, and you can do it from your computer. Just you got to have a webcam and a mic, and you do it in front of the World Wide Web, which means there'll be millions of people watching. And if you win, if they vote for you the winner, are you sitting down? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You win $100.
Oh, man. How do I...
That's a lot of ramen noodles, my friend. That's a lot of ramen noodles you can buy.
Oh,
you'll be the king of the dollar store.
I might be able to throw some sardines and tuna fish in there, too. Oh, man.
How many funds you can buy with that?
Yeah. Oh, man. Hey, I love it, though.
Motown, it challenges you and your audience. All of them. Monday at 10 o'clock Eastern. There's no excuse. All you need is a webcam and a mic. You go to younow.com, look for the talk channel. Keith and I will be there. What we usually do is a couple of monologues to warm up the crowd, maybe something from The Breakfast Club or some classic Jerry Maguire stuff. The people get their heads screwed on straight. And then we start saying, show me the money. And then we have the contest start. So you better be there.
Yeah. Motown Maurice is going to be our special guest.
All right. Yeah. I'm working on it.
Just change the name for 1 week. We'll call it Motown Mondays.
Yeah, baby. Next week is going to be Motown Mondays.
Yeah, the website is called younow.com. It's really easy. When you get there, you log in. It's all free. Everything is free. And then the good part about their site is once you do your monologue, they'll post it on your Facebook. You can email it to people. So it's a really good marketing tool. So we have that going on. We have the monthly show in New York, the monthly show in L.A., and then we're probably just going to get into a van and go cross-country and pick up actors all the way.
Yeah.
That is nice. I love it. I love it. Y'all got some good things going on. Now, this You Now, it sounds like a YouTube killer, is it?
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing, man. I mean, this is YouTube is getting saturated with all kinds of stuff now, and it's great. It is what it is. But this You Now, it's a whole new different thing. And Philip has really been key in this whole thing, and he's working with the creator of this website to really help develop this thing. And we want to use this show to really help launch this website. We're the only thing on there that you know, or the only thing that I've seen so far, we're taking a very professional approach to it. We're serious about what we do. We mean business, and we're there just like when we do the Manhattan Monologue Slam in New York and L.A. We're there for a good reason, for a good cause, you know, and it's a respected show, and hopefully we're going to build a great big fan base from it. And so we're all working together to really help launch this new You Now thing and make it the new YouTube, you know. And Philip is great with it, and he, like I said, he knows way more about it than I do. So
it's more of a live YouTube. Like everything on YouTube has been, you know, pre-produced. So when you go to You Now, you can be on the chat and you can watch people perform. You can vote for them, give them the thumbs up, the thumbs down, and they can interact with everybody, and then you can jump in. And when you go in, you're in like a video queue. You're like in a line, so you can see who's performing in front of you. And then it gives you a nice countdown so that you're, you know, you're ready to go. And then when you go, you just go and kill it.
Wow. Yeah. I'm liking that.
You know,
I'm really liking that.
Hometown Monologue Mondays, this Monday, 10 p.m. Eastern. See if anybody can beat Motown. And if they do, then Motown will give them the $100. How's that?
Oh, man. No, I'm going to come on. I don't know about this Monday, but I will definitely.
No, no, no. No,
no, no, no, no.
No,
no, no. No, no,
no. No,
you
can't.
No,
no,
yeah.
You got to come on this Monday, man.
Even if you come on this Monday just to say hi to us.
Yeah, yeah. But you got to come on just to say hi.
And you guys, this is what we'll do. God, we're such suckers. You come on and you do a monologue that's a promo for your radio show. How about that?
Yeah.
That sounds great. I mean, that sounds great. I'm down for the cause. I just did these one or two obligations that has to be put out in the way. No excuses. Trust me, I don't make excuses. None at all. But I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this. And I want everybody who's listening to be a part of this. So why don't y'all, we're running out of time, so why don't y'all please plug these websites one more time, plug the Manhattan Monologue, Slam, do all that right now, websites and everything.
Yeah, go ahead, Philip. You take it, brother.
All right, okay. So the main site is mmslam.com. Got to give you all the information, schedules, shows, and everything. If you go to YouTube, it's youtube.com/mmslamshow. And then on Facebook, you can just look for me, Philip Galinsky, PhilipGalinsky. There's a fan page there and all that stuff, but it's better just to go through me. And then the website to be a star is younow.com, younow.com. Look for the Manhattan Monologue Mondays, every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern, with the grand prize, $100 for your
Woo-hoo!
Best.
Yeah.
Tell them
about the show in New York.
And the next New York show is December 3rd, Saturday, December 3rd. Tickets are $10, but if you perform, you get a copy of your monologue, and every audience member gets their first Newcastle draft beer for free. How about this, Woo! Apples, huh?
You guys, you guys are just a part of so many generous projects, always giving away something so generous. I love it. I love
you
it.
You can't go out on a Saturday night in New York, spend $10, get a free beer, and see a great show. It's impossible, but yet we've done it.
It's impossible.
LA is the same thing. February 8th, 2012, at the King in Hollywood, 8 p.m., we'll be doing the Manhattan Monologue Slam, Los Angeles version. Philip Galinsky himself, who hosts the show, will be flying out to Los Angeles to host it, keeping things authentic, keeping it real. We don't want to change the thing. Matthew Allen and me, Keith Blazer, will be there helping to run the thing, produce the thing, get it going without a hitch. And every month after that, we'll be at the King. The first Wednesday of every month, we'll be at the King, doing the same thing they do in New York. And the whole goal of this whole thing is, while they're doing their show in New York, we'll be doing ours in L.A. We'll have 11 champions. They'll have 12 champions at the end of the year. We'll have a big slam championship, big slam off, and then there'll be one national crown champion at the end of the year.
That's what I'm talking about, and I'm going to be a part of it one way or another. So So, Philip, thanks for calling. I'm going to wrap up right now with Keith. I just want to thank you so much for calling and sharing everything that you have to offer. Great, thanks.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
Later.
See ya. Keith, you are attached to some greatness right now. I'm just loving it. I just want to be Keith. I want you to continue to keep me informed of what you're doing. Man, I've read about you. I mean, I've seen you in terms of in auditions. I know you're part of a great project. You're a talented actor, without a doubt, without any question. But I also feel the passion inside of you to help other actors. I don't find that with many other actors out there. So I'm going to give you this opportunity to wrap up, you know, say what's on your mind. But I want my audience to know about that passion that you have to help other actors succeed.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's key. It helps drive me. It keeps things alive in me. And I don't want all these big things that I'm doing. I have big dreams. I have things that I want to do and things that I want to build that can help other people and that can keep this dream alive for a lot of other people, because so many people get this dream and they give up because it's so hard and it's so challenging. But you can't. You have to keep fighting through it. If there's anything that I can do to make it easier for people, then I'm more than happy to do that. And that makes me feel good at the end of the day. It makes me feel like I've accomplished something really, really, really great, not only individually, but something for everybody else, something that I can create. I want to keep good people around me, you know, good people that have the same dream and visions and drive as I do, because us all together combined, we're going to make great things happen and we're going to do good things. And that's going to make me feel really good when I die one day, that I've done awesome things, that I've been given this life, and that I didn't just sit around and just waste it away, that I did something really awesome with my life and experienced that with other people too. And together, all of us together, not just me but myself, we all did something together as a group. And because we cannot do this alone. We can't. I'm not that stupid enough to think that, and not that selfish enough to think that I'm alone and that I can do this all on my own. I need people like you, Motown Maurice. I need people like Philip Klinsky. I need people like Matthew Allen on my side helping me do this.
Well said. Well said. Run, Keith. Run, Keith. Run, Keith. I'm loving everything you're doing. Keep on inspiring. You're a fantastic individual. And all of your dreams and aspirations will definitely come to pass. And I'm going to keep up to pace with you as best as I can in my golf cart, because you are running at a pace that is hard for anybody to keep up with. I'm going to let you go now. This has been a fantastic show. I have one more question to ask you, and I hope you can handle one more. Can you?
Yes, sir. I'm going to try my best.
Oh, please, please do. Because you always do your best, and I always expect the best of Keith Blazer. So here's the question. Keith, who is the future of late-night television?
Motown Maurice!
I love it, I love it, I love it. Keith, you have been fantastic. Thank you for sharing all of your stories, all of your fears, and all of your accomplishments and everything that you have in front of you, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. So thank you so much, Keith. We will definitely be in contact with one another. Peace and blessings to you and all that you do.
Thank you, sir. You too. Likewise. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, Motown.
Oh, no doubt, Keith. No doubt. Take care.
Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Keith Blazer on the Motown Maurice's Hustle and Shuffle. Great guy, doing great things. His journey continues. It's a quest, just like mine is a quest. You can check out my quest at MotownMaurice.com, the future of late night. Yes, that's me. The quest of a late night talk show host is what I do, is what I experience. MotownMaurice.com, check me out. My campaign is starting again soon. I want you to be a part of it. So many great things ahead. Peace and blessings. Once again, MotownMaurice.com. Thanks, Keith. Thanks, Philip. Until next time, peace and blessings. Later! Thanks, Keith. Thanks, Philip. Until next time, peace and blessings. Later. Thanks, Keith. Thanks, Philip. Until next time, peace and blessings. Later. Thanks, Keith. Thanks, Philip. Until next time, peace and blessings.